Xavier Moon joins me live at On the Rocks. Xavier, thanks for coming down, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Hey, well, let's say break up the Stingers right now. You guys are rolling, and you make a coaching change. I don't just think that was part of it. You get some guys back healthy as well, but you know, you win eight straight. You've beaten every team. You just went into Niagara, beat them in overtime. You got to feel pretty good about your squad right now.
We're feeling great right now. We're just trying to make sure that we keep everything rolling, keep everybody healthy, and get ready for championship weekend.
You were one of the guys who was banged up early on, and I've been to a few of the games, and you're kind of an old school point guard in the sense that, you know, we see now like there's a lot of shooting from certain guys, but you bring up the ball very quickly. You're more of a, you seem to take more joy in distributing the ball than just always shooting it. Is that fair?
Yes, sir, it is. I take pride in my job. So I definitely try to make sure I get everybody else involved before I do what I need to do.
How do you balance that though? When do you know, okay, here's a time where I'm going to dish off, but here's a time where I'm just going to take it to the hole?
You just have to pick and choose. You have to know when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive, and just make sure that everybody stays involved within the game.
So this is, I guess, technically your second team in Canada. You played in London last year. You grew up in Alabama. You went to Morehead State in Kentucky. How have you adjusted to Canadian life?
It was tough, actually, with the snow. I hate the snow, but in college I was in the snow, so I definitely adjusted pretty good.
Your game, you're 24 years of age, and you've got some tryouts coming up with the Raptors and the Lakers for the G League. When you know, we're seeing now the NBA for a long time really didn't have like a minor league or development system. You look in baseball, you know, you look in hockey, they've had that, and it's a really good opportunity to make your mark rather than playing in Europe where they only see you a few times, but they also get to know your personality. How much of an advantage do you think now for more young North American basketball players, A, to stay in North America and play, but B, can work their way up rather than just be like, well, you know what, I go to a few NBA camps, and by 23, if I don't make it, I got to go to Europe, and you're almost out of sight, out of mind.
I think it's easier having a North American team up here so the Canadian can stay at home. I know for myself that I love being at home. So any opportunity I get to be at home, that's definitely a plus.
The style of play, because you did play in France, and you were telling me how even during the season, you guys had like two-a-day practices. It's almost like an old Eastern European mentality over there. It's like, yeah, you got to be good, but you got to play through the pain almost. Was that the mentality that you found
definitely.
In France?
Definitely. Being the import, you definitely have to play through nicks and necks. Like I told you, two-a-days. So you practice in the morning and afternoon. And if you're hurting, then you just got to make sure you're making time to take care of your body.
Steve Sir told us a story, and he played in various places in Croatia and different parts of Europe, and he said in certain places, even your own teammates at times would challenge, you know, sometimes they wouldn't pass the ball when the guy's open, they wanted to see how you react, or if you had the ball as a point guard and this guy's open, he doesn't, well, he's freaking out, he's waving his arms almost to see how you would react. Did you experience that same thing in France? Did they just test you to see if, A, you'd stand up for yourself, or B, you could handle internal criticism?
I mean, you had times where the French guys would just speak French in practice. So I didn't know what was going on. So if you call that a challenge, then I definitely experienced some of those challenges.
And so they would talk to everybody else. How many imports were on the team in France?
Two. We had two Americans, me and another guy, and everybody else was either from France or spoke French, so it was definitely different.
Did they speak English to you?
Yeah, they spoke English, but like sometimes they'll come into practice and I guess they just talked about they're gonna speak French all day, so that's what they did.
And you were what, 22 when you
22.
Went there? 22. So, you know, you're still young, developing as a person. Now you're like, damn, how am I fitting in? Did you like it? Was it a good experience overall? Or was it one where you're like, you know what, it's hard to produce and play effective when you don't feel comfortable off of the floor?
It was a great experience. Me being young at the time that I went there helped me grow up a lot as a man and as a basketball player. So I definitely thank that club for giving me that opportunity to play for them.
So what caused you not to stay and come back to North America?
We had a first-year coach, so I feel like that's why the practices were so tough. We had a lot of older guys on the team. They were everybody was getting hurt. So we definitely thought it was a two-a-day, so I didn't want to put my body through that stress. So
okay.
That's when I decided to come back over here and play in the States.
Okay. And is the style of play, for your style as a traditional point guard, is it better suited to the North American game, do you find, or was the European game with all the flair almost better for you?
It's definitely better here. Over there, it's always like picking up 94 feet. They want you to try to guard every position, and you got to score a certain amount of points just to make sure that you stay on the team. Like I said, if you get hurt, then they might bring in somebody else to take your job while you're hurt, and then they might cut you.
So they wanted you to guard like the center or the power forwards?
No, but it was the way we played defense over there. It was like we was pretty much switching everything.
Okay.
So you basically got to be able to hold your own.
Now you're 6'2".
Yes, sir.
Which it's funny. You walk around Edmonton and you know you're above average tall guy. You get on the basketball court and you're like a small guy.
The smallest one on the court.
It's just it's unique that way. And you look at it even in the NBA, like you know Steph Curry. Steph Curry's I think like 6'6". Right, but he looks. Oh, sorry. What is he? 6'3", maybe
6'3".
But he looks tiny on an NBA floor, and he's 6'3". Like that's well above average. How have you had to learn to compete on the basketball floor without the height that a lot of the other players have?
You gotta have a heart. I was always taught height over heart. So I mean, you gotta make sure that you're doing what you need to do off the court to make sure that you're handling your business on the court.
Xavier Moon joins us, point guard for the Edmonton Stingers. They are back in action tomorrow night looking for their 9th consecutive win. Obviously, you guys have clinched a playoff spot. You're going to the weekend final. You'd like to go in as the number one seed because then obviously you face the 4 seed. It's a single elimination game. It's basically like a best of 7 right away. You win, you move on to the final, lose. It's like March Madness, the final 4 really is probably the best explanation for people that are curious about the playoffs. But I want to talk about your evolution. You've got some tryouts planned with the Raptors and the Lakers for the G League. When does that occur? And do you kind of know what to expect going in? What would go on in one of those tryouts?
It starts in September. I haven't got the dates for it yet, but it does start in September. I actually don't know what to expect. I don't know if it's going to be an open tryout or if it's going to be like a private workout. So, I mean, I just go in with the mindset that I need to do what I need to do and handle my business.
So, let's say you go for a workout in basketball. Have you done a workout with the team before?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so when you go there and you're the point guard, do they bring other guys out? So you got to, because I'm assuming you have to show your ability to distribute the ball. How do you do a workout to show the team what your skill set is?
Basically, you just do like ball handling stuff. They have you shooting from different spots on the court, maybe stationary shoot, maybe shooting off the dribble, catch and shoot, stuff like that. Basically, all the stuff that point guard does. And it may be a workout where you go in and you play 5-on-5 the whole time. So you never know. So the other point guard on the other team might be a guy that they're looking at too. So
okay.
You just got to. I mean, you're just going head to head.
What's your best skill set right now?
Probably my speed. Just being able to get the ball down the floor as quickly as possible. Not many people can guard me, so I just try to utilize my speed to the best of my ability.
Now, did you run track as a kid? Where'd the speed come from?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I was going to run track when I got to high school, but once I got to the 9th grade, they got rid of the track team in my high school. So I honestly don't even know where the speed came from. This is probably the fastest I've ever been.
Really?
Really.
Now, did you change your workout regime at all? Or are you a late developer physically? What's going on?
Maybe a late developer. Because I recently started jumping higher than I've been jumping too. So maybe a late developer.
Huh. It's kind of unique. Athletes now, the training, of course, is a major part of it. You talked in France how the 2-a-days, it's just too much, right? It's imperative now rest, right? Especially, you know, when you're on your legs all the time. What's proper rest for a pro basketball player?
It depends on the practice schedule, practice and game schedule. Like I said, we play probably once or twice a week, practice 2-3 times a week. So when you're not practicing, you're making sure that you're taking care of your body, ice baths, Normatec, game ready. So that's pretty much the daily thing.
Xavier Moon, point guard for the Edmonton Stinger, joins us. When you watch the NBA, are there point guards you focus in on? You're like, okay, I think I'm – like, I know everybody wants to be unique, but there's still certain styles that you can adhere. Is there a style of a point guard in the NBA that you watch closely?
Chris Paul is my favorite point guard. Been my favorite point guard since I was little. I've been watching him since he was with the Hornets. More of a traditional point guard, like you said, distribute the ball first, score when he needs to. So he's probably one of the main guys that I watch. And as far as like a new era point guard, I would probably say Damian Lillard.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's really good. Now, you made an interesting comment to me off the air before we started the interview. You said to stay on the court nowadays, you got to be able to play defense. So how do you improve – first of all, how do you feel your defensive game is right now?
I feel like it's pretty good, but, I mean, you can always improve every aspect of your game.
So to improve defensively, how much of that is just simple determination, and then how much of it is instincts and knowing how to guard certain other guards? Like, how much of that is just fear, you know what, I'm gonna outwork this guy?
I feel like it's 80-20. 80% of it is pride, like not wanting to get scored on, just knowing that you can guard the offensive guy. The other 20% is all instinct. Knowing where the ball is, knowing what's the passing lanes. So I definitely say that probably 80% of that is just not wanting to get scored on.
Now, you were playing in London earlier this year, of course, and then you came to Edmonton, so you've been in Canada for quite some time. Did you get caught up in the Raptor fever in the country?
I did not get caught up in the Raptor fever. The crazy thing is, when the Raptors was in the finals, like, I would go on Instagram and just make, like, random posts about the Raptors, and people would be, like, on me. Like, they would be on me, like, hard.
Now, that's just because you're a proudful American. You didn't want the Canadian team to win, or what?
It wasn't even that. I just like messing with people and seeing people mad about their Raptors. But I'm definitely glad the Raptors got a chance to win, and the country got a chance to experience that.
What do you think of Kyle Lowry's game?
Solid point guard. Definitely a solid point guard. He'll be around for a lot longer because I definitely think he's probably going to be the Raptors' main guy this year.
His ability to take a charge, impressive for you?
Very, very impressive. Because
not a lot of small guards can do that.
Right. You have to be mindful of the charge circle. So for him to be able to take charges outside of the charge circle the way he does is incredible.
Are you a guy, do you take charges, you play defense? Because everybody, you know, like, you can be a good defender in different ways, right? Lowry is definitely unique in his ability to take the charge. I think he was second or third in the NBA at charges called against him. So that was a skill set he's obviously honed. And a lot of that's timing and then a desire to want to take the charge, of course. Where do you are you a guy that does that, or how do you defend?
I'm more of a get-up-until-you type of guy. Like I told you before, my speed is probably the best attribute that I have. So I get up in you, don't give you any space. I'm not too worried about you going by me because I'm probably the fastest person in the league. So I just rely on my speed and my instincts as well.
Xavier Moon joins us, point guard for the Edmonton Stingers. I appreciate it when someone's like, you know, I think I'm the fastest guy in the league. It's not arrogant. It's just confidence. You've played against every team, so you know that. So when you go into the game tomorrow night and you're charting the other team, and you're like, okay, this guy I know I can beat. Because you feel more confident in your speed, do you find you're attacking more now because you feel like you're unstoppable with that speed?
I do. I definitely – but it's also picking and choosing when to do that, like we talked about earlier. Me knowing that I can go by my defender anytime kind of puts the defense at a disadvantage. So I just try to make sure that I'm using that to an advantage when it's my time to score and when I'm setting up my other teammates.
Being the point guard, you have the ball in your hands the most on the team. You take pride in ensuring that everybody touches the ball. What about being a vocal leader? This part of being a successful point guard, you have to be vocal?
You have to be. You have to make sure you're talking on defense and offense. So you got to make sure before you run a play, you got to make sure everybody's in the right spot. On defense and transition, you got to make sure everybody knows they need to go. It may be a cross match. So it may be my five-man might be guarding their point guard sometimes. So you just got to make sure everybody's talking and knowing what we're doing on defense, knowing our defensive schemes.
A new team you come to, a lot of guys never play together at all. Some guys didn't even know each other. So you come together. It's taken some time, I assume, to gel. Now that you know the team, as the point guard, you got to be complimentary of guys, but every now and then you got to be on a guy. Is that just kind of part of that position in basketball, that the point guard being verbal in the communication of where to go, but also when it's time to crack down? Is that part of it?
It is. And with this team, it's not even only my job. Everybody is – we hold each other accountable. So it makes my job a lot easier.
Give me your thoughts on Daniels, who's come in power forward. Man, he's an impressive player to watch. What has impressed you most being his teammate? And I'm not sure if you knew much about him before you played together.
No, I didn't know much about him. But when I first got here, I saw that he was crazy athletic. So definitely having somebody on a team like that makes it easier when you're around the basket. You feel like you can put up any kind of shot or just throw it at the rim for him. And he's been great on the offensive and defensive end for us.
And then you got Grady, who just seems to be like that just kind of blood and sweat kind of grinding type guy. Is he as emotional as a teammate as he looks on the floor?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all, no.
That's just him when he's on the floor. He's really intense, and then after he's quiet?
Yeah, it's pretty much like that with everybody. Everybody has a different personality when you're on the court.
Have you been able – you do anything in Edmonton? Because, like, you know, you guys played on Thursday, right? You played last weekend. Have you gone into the River Valley to go on bikes? Well, what do you do during the week in a new city that you've never been as a 24-year-old?
You pretty much taking care of your body, like I told you earlier. It's not too much downtime that you get. So you're either watching film or you're practicing, getting up extra shots, working out, any type of thing to just make sure that you stand prepared physically and mentally.
What about hobbies? What do you do to get away from basketball?
I read sometimes. I have a couple books that I'm reading right now.
What are you reading?
Relentless by Tim Grover.
Okay.
And I have another book that I'm reading, The Three H's, Humble, Hungry, and Happy. I'm reading that book too. So I read a little bit. I recently just went to West Ed Mall.
For the first time?
For the first time.
You've been here for like 3 months.
I know. I keep hearing that, but that was my first time going. So I didn't even see probably 20% of the mall, so I definitely got to go back.
One of the biggest malls you've been in?
Probably, besides the one in Minnesota.
Did you see the water park?
I didn't even go by the water park.
What? What about the rink? Did you see the ice rink?
Yeah, I saw the ice rink.
Okay,
came in the way the ice rink was.
Okay. Xavier Moon joins us quickly. Looking at the final four games of the season, what's been the change for your team? I don't know if it's just as simple as the coach. Maybe it is, but what's been the change that suddenly now you're the hottest team in the league?
I think the confidence level of everybody. Once we got a new coaching change, it seemed like everybody's confidence went up, and we're starting to trust each other more. We know that the most together team is going to be the one who win it, so we feel like if we can be together more than these other teams, then we'll definitely win.
What's your thoughts on Jackie Moon?
It's crazy because when I played in London last year, when we played in Sudbury, I played in his Grandy Glaze, and it was a fan who used to sit behind our bench and call me Jackie Moon the whole game. The entire game, every time we come to a timeout or we in the huddle, he'd be like, come on, Jackie. Like, you got him. I'm like, man.
Do you ever sport the fro?
No, my uncle did, though. My uncle was the one who got into all that. I never did. I never got into it.
No.
No.
Did you like the movie?
Yeah, I like the movie, though. The movie is definitely nice.
Have you ever had the nickname? Since the movie came out, did people start calling you Jackie as, like, a nickname for fun or anything?
No, they always call my uncle Jackie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I definitely think they gave that to him. So I definitely stay where I am.
Okay, but could you ever be, like, player coach, player owner?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to play till I'm at least, like, 65.
65, wow. Okay, I like that. Now, your aspirations in basketball, obviously to the G League, everybody wants to play in the best league in the world, into the G League. How do you feel, like, where's your game at now that you feel like, you know what, A, I'm going to get my trial, B, I'm going to make that team, and that I'm somebody who can push, you know, to get to an NBA camp? How do you get from here to there over the next few years?
I feel like I'm the best I'll be as a young player right now. I feel like I've peaked as a young player. So I got to take my youth with me as well as the experiences that I've had in the past and just use that to my ability going into these workouts.
Xavier, continued success. I've watched a few of your games. Very impressive. I like the ability for you. Like, I'm always amazed when I see a point guard and you're rushing up the floor and all of a sudden it's like you almost have eyes in the back of your head. Like, you're obviously thinking as you're dribbling the ball upfield, because a lot of times you're coming here and I see you go back behind to the other guy. I'm like, well, how do you see him? So almost like a chess player, are you visualizing the plays before they're occurring as a point guard?
You kind of have to. On a fast break, it's basically knowing where everybody is. So you know if you have three people in front of you, it's two people behind you. So you just got to make sure that you know who those two people are behind you and where they are. So, and you have to be mindful of the defense. You know, if it's three defenders in front of you, it's also two defenders behind you. So they might be guarded, or it might be two people guarding one. So you just got to make sure as you're coming down the court, you take a look back and you make sure that you know where everybody is.
And lastly, favorite basketball movie of all time?
Oh, that's a hard one, man. Favorite basketball movie? I'd probably say Love and Basketball.
Okay.
Love and Basketball. That's probably one of my favorite.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I just like the movie as a whole. And it's pretty much a favorite of a lot of people that I know.
And for fans who go to the Stingers game, who's the biggest character on the Stingers? Like, who's the guy that keeps everybody loose? Who's the comedic player on your team?
I feel like it's everybody. We get constantly laughing on this team in practice and film sessions. So I definitely feel like it's everybody. But if I had to choose one person, it'll be Akeem Ellis.
Akeem Ellis.
For sure, it'll be Akeem Ellis.
And does anybody – do you have a best trash talker? Because, I mean, trash talk is really part of basketball. And it's not looked upon – some other – I think outsiders sometimes look at trash talking as a negative in basketball. But right. It's almost like that's just – especially when you played street ball. That's just part of it. So right. Is there a best trash talker basketball version on your team right now?
Akeem Ellis. Oh, for sure. If you were in Niagara, or if you watched the game against Niagara, Akeem talked to a fan on the baseline for probably the entire second half, and this fan was like furious. And we went on a run, and we came back and cut the lead and took the lead. And
won in overtime.
Won in overtime.
And he was just relentless,
and
giving it to the guy.
He was giving it to the fan. So I definitely say Akeem.
Do you guys like that? Because some players will get distracted, and other guys, it really motivates them. Are you a guy who, when you hear that stuff, it gets you more in the game, or do you prefer not to hear it?
Either way. I feel like when I hear it and I know that he's in the other team's head, then I know we got what we need to do. So that's something he definitely does every game. If it's talking to a player or a fan, it's every game.
And lastly, what's the significant difference your new head coach has brought, do you feel, to the team? That, not saying it wasn't there before, but right. Coaches are different. So what's different about your new head coach?
I think the confidence that he gives. He came in the first, when I got back, the first thing he said in practice was make sure that we giving each other confidence and having each other in ourselves. I mean, confidence in each other. So I definitely think us having that confidence in each other helps us play to the best of our abilities. Even when we probably not having the best game, we just making sure that we got each other's back.
So he's more of – not that Braddock was a negative coach by any sense, but he's a guy who's really trying to go with more of the mental stuff. Because right. Your skill set's obviously there. He focuses more on the mental thing. And it's interesting how a little thing or a little comment can really change a viewpoint of a player and a team.
Right. It just depends on the player and how the player views the coach. So if the coach gives that player that confidence and the player feels like he can believe in that coach, then the player will do anything for that coach.
And quickly, if I'm going to Alabama, what's the one place I have to go and I have to see?
The one place you probably have to go would probably be Jimmy Nick's Barbecue. Got to go there.
Jimmy Nick's Barbecue.
Jimmy Nick's Barbecue. Need the barbecue ribs and you need the cheese biscuits. Got to get a dozen cheese biscuits. Make sure you get the honey butter with them.
Honey butter cheese biscuits. Now, is Jimmy Nick's all, like, is it in one part? Where is it in Alabama? Like, where do I got to go to get this?
It's pretty much everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much everywhere.
So it's like a restaurant food chain.
Yeah, it's like a food chain.
Jimmy Nick's.
Jimmy Nick's. If you're looking for the best barbecue in Alabama, Jimmy Nick's, but you got to make sure you get a dozen cheese biscuits.
A dozen?
A dozen. You'll thank me later.
Xavier, I really appreciate this, man. Thanks for coming down to On the Rocks and continued success. Hopefully you guys win out, right? By my math, you only need 6 more wins.
Yes, sir.
And you go all the way to the championship. So best of luck there. And then, of course, best of luck with your G League trials with the Raptors and the Lakers.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you having me on the show, man.
Appreciate it. Xavier Moon, point guard for the Edmonton Stingers.